Praise the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And you know, I know that Jesus is in the house because he said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, he says, there am I right in the middle of them, right in the midst of them. So we know that Jesus is in the house. So if Jesus is in the house, that means there's miracles going to take place in the house. Amen. That means Jesus is going to show out in the house. Amen. That means Jesus is going to speak to your heart tonight because Jesus is in the house and we're going to get out of the way and let Jesus speak to your heart. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to receive what God has for you tonight? Praise the Lord. I've been letting the Spirit of God just cook this up all day. We've been teaching on Zoe life in the healing school. And it's a subject that a lot of people maybe don't know a whole lot about. But I'll tell you what, if we would get a hold of why Jesus came, we'll never be the same. Jesus didn't come just to encourage us, although he does that. Amen. He didn't come just to instruct us, although he does that. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. In John 10:10, Jesus drew the line in the sand about what the devil does in the earth and what he came to do in the earth. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus made it very plain. He says, the thief, that's talking about the devil. Amen. The thief, he cometh not but for to steal. Amen. He wants to rip you off. How many of you like to get ripped off? I hope nobody in here does. He says, the thief comes not. In other words, this is why the enemy exists in the world. He comes not but for to steal. He wants to rip you off. He wants to steal your hope. He wants to steal your dreams. He wants to steal your relationships. Honey, if he can have his way, he'll steal your money. Amen. He'll steal your hope. He'll steal your aspirations. He'll try to steal your reason for living. He'll try to steal everything that you dream about, everything that you hope for. He'll try to steal it. He came to steal. He came to kill. If he had his way, he'd take all of us out already. But you and I are proof tonight he can't do that on account of we're still here. Amen. And we're still kicking. He came to steal. He comes to kill. Where you go to church can make the difference between whether you live long or whether you don't live long. Where you go to church can make the difference between whether you're strong or whether you're weak. Where you go to church can make the difference between whether you prosper supernaturally or whether you struggle forever in the financial arena. Where you go to church can make the difference between whether you're filled with hope or filled with despair. It makes all the difference in the world where you go to church and where you're taught. Amen. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, he comes to kill, and not only that, but he comes to destroy. The enemy is alive in this planet. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but he's called the God of this world. That word God there is a little g. How many know that the God of this world is the little g God, but we serve the big G God. We serve Elohim, the God of heaven and earth. That little God, he's called the God of this world. That means that this world system, he's got his hands in it. That's why when you see governments that are screwed up, take a clue. The enemy's got his hand in it. When you see people's lives that are messed up, take a clue. The enemy's got his hand in it. He comes to mess things up. He came to steal, he came to kill, and he came to destroy. But how many of you are glad that Jesus didn't stop there in that sentence in John 10:10? He said, but. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but. How many of you know, and I've said it so many times, you've heard pastors say it, you got to have your butt in the right place. And I'll tell you what, where you're seated tonight, tell your neighbor you've got your butt in the right place. Amen. Jesus said, but I have come. Hallelujah. Why? Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come to the earth? Jesus said, I have come. Why? That you might have life. That word life means Zoe. I have come that you might have life. Zoe life, the very life and nature of God. I have come that you might have life. And that you might have life more abundantly. One translation says, I've come that you might have life to the full. Life where the blessings are running over. Life, I've come that you might have life where life is good. Hallelujah. I've come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. Jesus came to give the abundant life. Now, another scripture you're all very familiar with is found in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Very familiar scripture, but it goes along with this teaching. The Bible says, my people, the people that I love, the people that I created to be in my image and likeness. He said, my people are destroyed. Why does Satan come to kill, steal, and Hosea 4, 6 prophesied, he said, my people are destroyed for what? For a lack of knowledge. Listen to me. What you don't know can keep you lost. What you don't know can keep you broke. What you don't know can keep you depressed and oppressed. And God forbid, some folks are possessed. But when Jesus came, He came to show us not a bunch of religious rules and regulations. He came to demonstrate the very life of God. That's exactly what He did. Now, let me just go back a little bit. When God made Adam and Eve, He made them to have fellowship with. Isn't that right? You all read your Bibles. But in Genesis 1 and 2, it talks about God and how He made man. The Bible says, Elohim said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. In other words, He said, we want to make man to be exactly like us. And He didn't stop there. He says, and by the way, when we make that man and woman, let them have dominion over the fowls of the air, over the fish of the sea, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the face of the earth. Tell your neighbor, we even got authority over creeps. Glory to God. And then in Genesis 2, when it talks about God's creation, when He made man, the Bible says He took the clay of the earth and He formed man, but man didn't have a life in him yet. So the Bible says that God breathed into man's nostrils the very breath of God. In other words, His first man was filled with the life of God. He breathed His very own life into the nostrils of man. And the Bible says, and man became a living soul. We know pastors talked about that. Another translation of that says that when man had that breath of God breathed into his nostrils, the Bible says there that man became a speaking spirit. When the earth was not the way God wanted it to be, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. And you read on in Genesis, and what God said, it says, and it was so, and it was so, and it was so, and it was so, and it was so. What God said came to pass. But here's the other part of that. When God put His man and woman into that garden, there was a tree in the midst of it called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they had it pretty well made because that garden was a nice place. I mean, you talk about good cooking, they could almost cook as good as Kathy over here. It was so good. Amen. Almost as good as my wife's cooking over there. But anyway, they had it made in the garden. And every evening, the Bible says that the Lord would come down and He would talk with Adam and Eve, and they would walk together and talk in fellowship. And everything they needed was in that garden. But the Lord told Adam and Eve, He says, you can have anything in this garden, but stay away from that tree. Leave the tree alone. And I don't know where Adam was. I don't know if he was sleeping or fishing or what the guy was doing, but it's his fault that Eve was there talking to that serpent, because the serpent made his way in there to right to where she was and started pointing out that tree and pointing out the fruit. And Satan gave her a big lie. He said, the only reason God doesn't want you to eat of that forbidden fruit is because He knows that the very moment you do, you're going to be just like God. Well, take a clue. They were already like God. They were already made in His image and likeness. But he got Eve to keep looking at that fruit. And the more she looked at it, the Bible says, the more that that fruit was to be desired. And she kept circling around and looking at it. And then she'd try to forget it. And she'd circle around and look at it. And she kept looking at it and looking at it until she couldn't resist it anymore. And that fruit looked so good, she took and ate. And God had warned them. He says, when you eat of that forbidden fruit, the very time that you do, the very moment you eat of that fruit. He says, in dying, you're surely going to die. And you guys know they ate of that fruit, and when God came down to talk to them in fellowship, just like He always had, they were not there, they were hiding. Amen. They were naked and they knew it. Yes. And He said, where are you? He was trying to get them to restore back to Him in right relationship, and they wouldn't do it. You know, the woman, she said, well, it's the serpent's fault. She's trying to play the blame game. She wouldn't own up to her mess. Then He tries Adam. Adam, how about you, buddy? He says, it's a double whammy here. The woman you gave me. You're both at fault, not me. Wouldn't own up to the mess. And so the Lord had no choice. He had to keep His word. So He kicked him out of the garden. And what happened? The law of sin and death was brought into this world. The Bible says that death came by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned and come short of the very glory of God. The life and nature of God that was in them was taken away. Now, they didn't die physically right then, but they died spiritually. And many hundreds of years later, after they began to break down physically, they ultimately died. But all the while, God's heart was broken over that, because He made man to be created in His image and likeness, and He was looking for a way for man to be redeemed. And so we know the story that when the fullness of time was come, the Bible says that God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into this earth, crying, Abba, Father. And Jesus came into the earth, and He was obedient to His parents until He grew up to the age of adulthood. And we know the story. We've talked about that in here before. But when Jesus went down to the River Jordan to be baptized, John baptized Him. And when He came up out of the water, the Spirit of God descended on Him like a dove. And the Holy Spirit marked Him out. And a voice spoke about Him from heaven and said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And that's what He says about every one of us that's born of God. You're My beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. How many are glad that He's a faith God? Amen. He doesn't see you where you're at. Aren't you glad for that, some of you? Amen. He sees you where He's taking you. Amen. Glory to God. That's why the Word says, He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Amen. And so Jesus came and He whooped the devil, and then He wanted to manifest the life of God to you and me. So let's turn in our Bibles together, and we're going to take a little look at this together. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 together. Because we want to find out about this life that Jesus came to give us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 3, the Bible says, but if our gospel, the word gospel there always means good news. Aren't you glad for that? It says, but if, and I like the word if there because it means it doesn't have to be. It says, but if our gospel be hid. The Bible says it is hid to them that are lost. It says in whom the God, and there's the God that I was talking about earlier, in whom the God of this world, the little g, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. In other words, He's pulled the wool over people's eyes. That's why you see people that are not born again, they seem so frustrated with life. Because they're like a dog chasing its tail. They think, if I get that car, it'll make me happy. If I get that home, it'll make me happy. If I get that position, it'll make me happy. If I get that person in my life, it'll make me happy. How many of you know that even though they say that over at Duck Dynasty, without God, there ain't no real happy. You might think so, but it's not. Amen. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But it says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Watch this now. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord. And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, it gets better. What happens when Jesus comes to live in you? Look at this, verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." When Jesus comes in, excellency comes in. When Jesus comes in, power comes in. Not of us, but of God. Amen. That's why when Jesus comes in, it says you don't realize the treasure that comes to the inside of you. Amen. Because when Jesus is on the inside, you can have health. When Jesus comes on the inside, you can have strength. When Jesus comes on the inside, you can have peace. When Jesus comes on the inside, you can have joy. When Jesus comes on the inside, you can have strength. When Jesus comes on the inside, you can have health. When Jesus comes on the inside, you can have the anointing. When Jesus comes on the inside, you can have power. When Jesus comes on the inside, you can have signs. When Jesus comes on the inside, you can have wonders. When Jesus comes on the inside, you can have miracles. When Jesus comes on the inside, you can have a supernatural life. When Jesus comes on the inside, you can get a lift. When Jesus comes on the inside, your whole life can change, honey. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. When He comes in, the Word says we have this treasure. Hallelujah. What a treasure we have in Him. We have this treasure in this earthen vessel. Tell your neighbor, there ain't no junk in God's treasure trunk. Amen. You know what you are? You're God's treasure. Oh, you didn't get that. I said, you know what you are? You're God's treasure. Yes. Come on, some of you get that on the way home. You're God's treasure. Yes. Glory to God. That the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us. Inside of you, when Jesus came in, you got His power. I said, inside of you, when Jesus came in, you got His power. Some of you didn't get that. I said, when Jesus came on the inside of you, you got His power. So don't tell me you're weak. Don't tell me you can't do it. Don't tell me you're not going to make it. Glory to God. Don't tell me that you can't do it. Don't tell me you're going to fail. Because He said right here, He came in there and you're a vessel of honor. Glory to God. And the power is His that's in you. Now watch this. In the light of the fact that you're a powerhouse, watch this. When it comes to all these things He describes coming up next, when things come against you, you ought to go, amen. When trouble comes against you, you ought to go, yeah. Why? Because you got Jesus on the inside. Yeah. Oh, I said you got Jesus on the inside. Yeah. They're getting it down here. I said you got Jesus on the inside. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. I'm going to back this truck up. Brother Rudolph, let the tailgate down and just unload tonight. Watch this now. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Glory to God. We are persecuted. Glory to God. But we are not forsaken. We are cast down sometimes, but we are not what? Amen. You know what one translation says right there? We might be knocked down, honey, but we ain't knocked out. Amen. She got that. Glory to God. I'm looking right at her. Amen. We might be knocked down sometimes, but we are not knocked out. As long as we got breath in us, we'll get right up and just start praising God. And when stuff tries to come against you, just cop a Holy Ghost attitude, dig whatever size shoes you have in and just go, pfft. Glory to God. You ought to have some spiritual backbone when you got Jesus in your treasure house. Watch this in verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? Why go through what we go through? Watch this now. This is what Jesus did. It says that the life also of Jesus. Oh, some of you are going to get that on the way home and you're going to have to pull over on the side of the road. Get out of your car. I hope you pull over in a parking lot somewhere where you won't get hurt. Amen. It says there that the life also of Jesus, Oh, you'll get that on the way home. That the life also of Jesus. Oh, some of you are listening. That the life also of Jesus. That means that Jesus' life is your life. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our, as Dad Hagin used to say, bate. Amen. That the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Oh, glory to God. That the life of Jesus. Jesus was always in control. Jesus spoke to storms and they stilled. Amen. Jesus walked on the water. Hallelujah. Jesus never saw a sickness or a disease that he didn't handle totally and completely and 100%. Amen. Jesus knew where there was a fish. Glory to God, that would bite on a hook with nothing on it. Think about that and pay taxes. An honest fisherman. Glory to God. Pay the taxes anyway. But that his life might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and we also speak. Now watch this now. When we're talking about the life of God in us, let's go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And you know, when we're turning there, I want to just say this to you. Many years ago, when I was still at Rhema, I went there when I was 30 years old. I stayed there about 3 to 4 years in Tulsa, some of the best years of my life. And when Dad Hagin taught a series of lessons on this thing called Zoe life, I took it to heart. And, you know, let's look at verse 4 here real quickly. We're gonna try to go through this text, but I want you to see this. We'll read from verse 1 real quickly. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, let me just take a little side trip here. The beginning of your happiness is in the Word. The beginning of your strength is in the Word. The beginning of getting out of trouble is in the Word. The beginning of knowing what to do is in the Word. The beginning of your healing, it's in the Word. The beginning of your promotion, it's in the Word. The beginning of your prosperity, it's in the Word. Glory to God. The beginning of peace, it's in the Word. In the beginning was the Word. If you don't know what to do, go to the Word. That's where to begin. If you don't know what to do, go to the Word. That's where to begin. Amen. If you don't have the answers, go to the Word. That's where to begin. In the beginning was the Word. All right, let's look at this now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. This is powerful. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 says, in Him was life. In Him was life. When you're born again, in you is what? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I didn't know that when I was hearing this taught many years ago, but when I found out that that word light meant development, it turned my whole world upside down to the way that I used to think. Because that word light means development. You could read it like this. In Him was life, and that life was the development of men. Now, we don't have the time to go back to the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I want you to go back in your Bibles on your own time to the book of Daniel, and you'll see the story where this king wanted to have these men come together, and he tried to feed them and put them on a regimen of diet and all these different things because he was trying to raise up these guys that would be able to speak into his life and interpret dreams and visions and all these other things. Well, he took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these Hebrew children, because at that time there was something about them that made them really stand out. And when he started trying to get these people, the king did, he tried to get these young men to eat certain food and be on a certain regimen. Daniel already had favor with this guy that was over him. And he said, look, he says, I don't mean to be rude or anything. And I'm sure that the king's got some good cooks over there. And I'm not putting them down. They might cook like my wife or Kathy, you know, some of these ladies in here might cook like that. But we do not want to defile ourselves with food from the king's table. Well, back in Daniel's day, this food was offered to idols, so it was defiled food, and these guys knew that. They weren't going to let anything that was defiled or offered to idols to come into their mouth. And there's a side trip there, but that's why it's important for us not to let anything defiled come into our thought life or come into our eye gate or our ear gate. Can you say amen? Because it'll defile you. Amen. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Some people say, well, I don't think it'll hurt for me just to do a little bit of that. You know, a little dab will do you. Well, let me ask you this. Put a little dab of strychnine in your coffee and see what it'll do. It'll kill you. But they would not defile themselves with food from the king's table. And at the end of a long period of time, you know what it said about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It says that these men were found to be 10 times smarter than all the other children in that realm. Why? Because they knew that all of God's children love living bread. Amen. Oh, you'll get that on the way home. But they learned there that if they trusted God, that God could make up the difference. And so here, when it talks about Jesus and why Jesus came into the earth, it says there in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. We said that word light means development. Development. Now, when I learned that years ago, and I learned about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I learned about the life of God being our development, I started thinking about that, and I thought, you know what that means? That means, David, that every area of our life, if you were smart before you got God, you're smarter with God. Amen. If you were able to do a skill or some type of task before you got God, think how much better you can do it with the life of God in you. Because God becomes your strength and He becomes your ability. And so when the Lord comes in, when that life of God comes in, it's not just any life. It's the very life of God. It's the life that Jesus had when He was here on the earth. The very same life that caused Jesus to live a supernatural life in the earth. Now, why is that important? Well, when my younger kids were growing up, and I got a hold of this fact that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. When my kids were little and I'd put them to bed at night, I'd get my hands on their hands, and I would say, Father, I thank You for these children. I thank You, Lord, that they are filled with the very life and nature of God. And that life is the development of them. Glory to God. My children are 10 times smarter than any unbelievers because the life of God's in them. I thank You, Lord, that You bless everything that my kids set their hands to. Whichever way they go, You bless them and You prosper them. Glory to God. Whatever they set their hands to, it turns to gold. Whichever direction my kids go, they're blessed. They're prosperous because they're alive with the very life and nature of God. And I began to proclaim that over my kids. And you know what? They grew up and they were a whiz all the way through school. And they're a whiz all the way through life. If I started talking about what my older kids have done, you'd think I was bragging. And I really would be. And it's not because I'm any hot shot or anything special. It's the fact that when the life of God comes in you, your life ought to be what it says. In Deuteronomy 8:18, the Bible says, my children are to be for signs and wonders. That means you start flowing in the favor of God and in the wisdom of God. That means your kids ought to breeze through school. Amen. Amen. That means that when you're in your corporation, the Bible says that God gives us the knowledge of witty inventions. Who's going to be the next millionaire in here? Come on, stick your hand. Who's going to be the next millionaire in here? Glory to God. Chris? Amen. Why not? Amen. You know, if the life of God is in you, that's what He's in there for. Amen. To give you the abundant life. Life to the full. Life that's running over. The life that has more than enough. That's why He comes in. And you know what? It's worked in my kids, and glory to God. I could brag on it, but it's working in my grandkids now as well. Amen. And when Nikki and I got married, we started right off with with our little T90 Laura Bethel when she was a little baby. We just started speaking it over that child. And I'll tell you what, God's going to use her in a mighty way, just like God's going to use your kids. Listen to me. You can give your kids the best food that there is. You can put the best clothes on their back. You can buy your children the best toys that money can buy. But honey, if you're not, you know, putting the Word of God on them and speaking the Word over them, you're doing them a disservice. God's will, God's purpose, God's plan is for your children to be salutatorians and valedictorians, to be the cream of the crop. Glory to God, the best students there are. Why? What's the excuse? There is no excuse, because when God comes in, the life of God comes in. And when the life of God comes in, He expands every area of our life. He makes you smarter. He makes you wiser. He makes you stronger. Amen. His favor comes on you to allow you to do things you could never do without the life of God on the inside of you. Oh, I hope you're getting stirred up tonight. Glory to God. I pray to God that you'll just begin to just speak about your family and speak about your siblings and say, glory to God, the life of God in them, it's developing them. Hallelujah. Oh, I get excited about this stuff. I get excited about this stuff because it works. Last Sunday in healing school, I passed this confession sheet out that I made many years ago, and I've given it out for a lot of years, and it's good because it talks about this life of God that we have. And I'm just going to read it for you. And, you know, if some of you want it, we'll make it available to you. Well, maybe we can get it on our website if we don't have it already. But I want you to say this with me, because if you're born of God tonight, you have the life of God in you. So I want you to say this with me. Say, I am alive with the very life and nature of God. I have God's life within me. That life is the development of me. It's developing my spirit. It's developing my soul. It's quickening my mortal body. That life shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overpower me. Therefore, all past failures, all bad habits, all sin consciousness, and all the accusations of the devil against me cannot dominate, overcome, or overpower the life of God that's within me. It'll never leave me. It'll never forsake me, because I am alive with the very life and nature of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? All bad habits, all sin consciousness, all the accusations of the devil against you cannot overcome or overpower the life of God that's in you, because you're alive with the very life and nature of God. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to be a failure. Glory to God. You don't have to live in the past. It's a brand new time. It's a brand new season. It's a brand new day to tap into this Zoe life. I'll tell you what, when you get a hold of the fact that the life of God is in you, your days of barely getting along are over. Your days of being weak are over. Your days of being mediocre, they're over. Glory to God. Your days of just having a little light, they're over. Hallelujah. The life of God will come in and it'll light you up. You'll be a bright and shining light in the midst of a dark generation. Amen. And why is it important? Because in the day and the hour that we're living in, we've got enough gloom and doom going around. But how many of you know my Bible tells me that death is swallowed up in life? I don't care how dark it is in this sanctuary. You turn every light out when the power switch is turned on and the light comes on. All the darkness in here, it doesn't get to stay. It doesn't get to vote on it. The light will shine, and that darkness goes just like that. Glory to God. So are you going to take advantage of that Zoe life that's yours? Amen. Are you going to acknowledge that you have Zoe life? Listen, put your kids on the fast track. Begin to claim the promises of God concerning your life and your kids. And I'll tell you what, you'll go from glory to glory and from victory to victory and from faith to faith. And your days of barely getting along, they'll be a thing of the past when you get a hold of the life of God. Amen. I've seen it work for too many years for you to talk me out of. I've seen it work for too many years in my kids and in my grandkids for any of you in here to convince me otherwise, because I have seen it work. I have seen it borne out. If you don't believe me, check my family. Talk to them. Look at my grandkids. Look at them. I'm not saying that to brag on me at all. I'm just telling you, folks, this Zoe life stuff, I'm telling you, it works. I said it works. You know why? Because God said it does. Glory to God. You know, we just need to quit making excuses. If we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency and the powers of God are not of us, it's time to shut up and quit making excuses and just start acknowledging that we are children of the Most High God, and He's the first begotten among many brethren, and that life that He had is the very life that you and I have, and that life of God is in us and it's working in us. And I'll tell you what, it's going to make a difference in the world in these last days. We are going to be a bright and shining light in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. Our kids are going to rise up and they're going to be the best at what they do. Glory to God. Our kids are going to rise up and be businessmen and women. They're going to rise up and be entrepreneurs. They're going to rise up and be educators. They're going to rise up and be inventors. Glory to God. They're going to rise up and be preachers and teachers that are filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Glory to God. That go out and demonstrate signs and wonders and miracles, because if they have the life of God in them, why could they expect anything less? Amen. Amen. Our children ought to be so indoctrinated into this and have that so ingrained in them that they just grow up believing they can be anything. They grow up believing they can do whatever in their heart is put in there by God. The Holy Spirit, what's His job? It's to get on the inside of you and start changing it from the inside out, so that you're led by His Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's always going to be liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's always going to be provision. I was sharing with the staff one morning this week about the fact of that little widow woman. You know, she was barely getting along, and the prophet came along and she said, you know, I'm barely going to make it, and you're asking me to make you something to eat and give you something to drink. We're ready to die. And he told her what to do, and God began to multiply that food and it never ran out. Amen. And then you fast forward over there to Elisha, and what happened? He stumbles along this little lady, and her husband just got through dying, and now she's wondering, what in the world am I going to do to have my needs met? And she's worrying, man. She's fretting. She said, what am I going to do? And the prophet just looked at her and he says, well, what do you got? She says, well, all I got's just a little cruse of oil. He said, I'll tell you what you do then. If that's all you got, God will make it work. Go out there and get all the vessels you can and bring them on in. So she got all the vessels. They gathered up all the vessels. They went inside the house. They shut the door. And because they believed God, they were the ones that saw God do something supernatural. They began to pour oil into those vessels. And as long as they kept pouring, glory to God, as long as they had the vessels, the oil just kept a coming. The oil kept a coming. It just kept coming and filled up those vessels until they were all full. And finally, they looked at that lady and they said, well, you know, what's the deal here? Don't you have any more vessels? And she said, no, by golly, I've run out of the vessels. I don't have any more. And when she ran out of vessels, you know what happened? The anointing stopped flowing. The oil stopped flowing. It's a type of the anointing. Here's the thing. I've read that story so many times, Pat, and it never hit me like this until the other day I was looking at that. I said, you know what? This is amazing. Because it's just like you and I. We're supposed to be vessels, right? Vessels of honor. And God was saying, all you got to do is supply the vessel and I'll supply the oil. Glory to God. You make yourself available to me and I'll pour the oil in there. What's the oil? It's the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. It's the Holy Spirit. That's where supernatural power comes in. That's where supernatural strength comes in. Glory to God. That's where supernatural provision comes in. All we got to do is provide the vessel. And as long as we provide the vessel, God's got all the oil that we need. He's got all the anointing we need. What is that oil? What is that oil? I'll tell you what it is. It's the life of God. Hallelujah. It's the Zoe life. Zoe life. Life to overflowing and running over. Life that's blessed. Life that's more than enough. Life that's exciting. Life that has meaning. Life that has purpose. Life that has power. Life that has provision. Zoe life. Amen. Amen. Have you got it? Amen. Come on, have you got it? Amen. Have your kids got it? Amen. Then let's act like it and let's live like it. Amen. Glory to God. In Him was life. And that life was the light, the development of men. I am alive with the very life and nature of God. I have God's life in me. That life is the development of me. It's developing my spirit. It's developing my soul. It's quickening my mortal body. That life shines in the darkness. Therefore, all past failures and all bad habits and all sin consciousness and all the accusations of the devil against me cannot dominate, overcome, overpower the life of God that's in me, because I'm alive with the very life and nature of God. And if you have God in you, you have Zoe life. And what I got, you got. What I got, you got. Your kids got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's stand up and give Him glory. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give Him glory. Thank you, Lord, for the life of God. Thank you, Lord, for the life of God that's in us. Thank you, Lord, because the life of God is in us, that, Lord, I thank you that everything's going to be all right. Thank you that because the life of God is in us, things are turning around. Thank you, Lord, that because the life of God is in us, that miracles are coming our way. Thank you, Lord, because the life of God is in us, we are a picture of health. We're a picture of peace. We're a picture, glory to God, of creativity. Because the life of God is in us, we thank you, Lord, that everything our children put their hands to as they're growing up, it's going to be blessed. Glory to God, our children are going to be at the head of the line. They're going to be above only and not beneath. They're going to be the head, not the tail. Glory to God, our kids are going to be blessed going out and coming in the storehouse and in the field. They'll be the lender and not the borrower. Glory to God, they will be the blessed of the Lord because of the Zoe life. Glory to God, they'll be a stranger to medicine. They'll be a stranger to doctors. Hallelujah. Because the life of God in them will keep them healthy, keep them strong. Hallelujah. The life of God in them will keep them on course. They won't struggle with habits. Glory to God. They won't be bound to nothing. No drug, no demon in hell can keep our kids from walking in the power and in the freedom of the Holy Ghost. Because our kids are Holy Ghost kids, born of a Holy Ghost God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you for that. Let's give him a shout one more time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you for the life of God. Glory to God. Strong and not weak. Blessed and not cursed. Life and not death. Hallelujah. Strong and not weak. Glory to God. Blessed and not cursed. Because no one can curse what God has blessed. We are the blessed of the Lord. Glory to God. We are the strong ones of the Lord. Because the life of God is in us. People court our favor because of the life of God that's in us. People love to do us good because the life of God is in us. People want to bless us because the life of God is in us. People want to be around us because the life of God is in us. Where the life of God is, there's peace. Where the life of God is, there's joy. Where the life of God is, there's love. There's answers. There's strength. There's blessing. There's anointing where the life of God is. Where is the life of God? It's on the inside of you. So let it out. Let it out. Let the life of God out of you. Hallelujah! Be a vessel of honor. Be a vessel of honor for God. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus came, to make you strong. Glory to God, to make you healthy, to make you prosperous. That's why Jesus came. And whatever His life was, that's what your life is. Glory to God. Jesus was always in control. You're always to be in control. Because the life of God in you wouldn't have it be any other way. I said the life of God in you wouldn't have it be any other way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad I came to church tonight. Hallelujah. I preach myself happy. I think myself happy because I got the life of God in me. Hallelujah. And you do too. Glory to God. I know I get excited, but the life of God will do that to you. Hallelujah. It's called life. We're not a bunch of deadbeats. We got the life of God in this house. Glory to God. Just like Superman, man. Stronger and faster. Hey, but Superman was limited, Jack. The Spirit of God has no limitations on it. And neither do you. Neither do you. Neither do you. The half has not been told of what you're going to tap into when you begin to walk in Zoe life. No habit can keep you bound anymore. Come on. Spirit of God will break it off you and you'll never look back. Glory to God. That's why the front windshield on your car is about 20 times bigger than the rearview mirror. Take a clue from that. Glory to God. You got a whole lot more to look at that way than trying to look back that way. Come on. Come on. Come on. The life of God in you makes you free. The life of God in you makes you strong. The life of God in you makes you happy. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just need to know when to shut up, Chris. Glory to God. We're in a zone here. Not the old zone, the Holy Ghost zone. I like that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll bow your heads real quickly. Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit loves every person in here. And Father, I thank you that it would not be right for us to dismiss without making sure that everybody